You do too. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. The book of Hebrews. We'll be in chapter number 11 tonight. And I want to read the first 16 verses. I know that's a little lengthy for some, but it's so good. Amen. And thank God for this chapter. And if you have not read it, I hope that you'll go home and read it, because it's power-packed with a lot of truth. It'll be an encouragement to you tonight. But I want to focus here on the latter part of the verses I'm going to read and pull out of truth. And I pray it'll be a blessing to you. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Before I read any further, I want to say tonight that I'm thankful that the faith that we have is a now faith. Amen? It's not a faith just for those in the Old Testament or Bible characters or maybe mama and papa or grandma and grandpa. But the faith that we hold tonight that was once delivered to the saints is a now faith. Amen. The same God of the Bible is the same God of tonight. It's a now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should not after for which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, in him as many as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14 says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." And here's what I want to look at tonight, verse number 16. The Bible says, "But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Father, I pray for a few minutes tonight that you take the truth of your book. Lord, as I try my best tonight for the thoughts that you've given to me, and Lord, the truth that's in my heart, I pray that you'd help me to deliver and, Lord, preach the truth the best I know how. But Father, tonight I pray that you would take the things and impart the truth into the hearts of those that are here. And Lord, if there's be anyone here tonight, there's somebody here that's never been saved, never received this faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray tonight that they would nail that thing down tonight, and before they leave, get their eternal salvation and the eternal destiny of their soul settled in their heart tonight. And Father, I pray that you'd help those of us that are here that are saved, God, to glean from the truth, the Lord, with our life, that we want to be a child of God that's full of faith. And Lord, an individual, God, that pleases you with our lives and Lord, does not shame you by the way we live and our lack of faith in our life. And Father, we'll look forward to what you're going to do tonight. We ask you to do it. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you read Hebrews chapter number 11, the first 15 verses, we see the Bible, it emphasizes and it shows us the faith of those that loved and served God. This is the hall of faith. That's what they would call it. These are the individuals that are mentioned here. And by the way, God names these individuals. Many of the names we know, we can go back in the Old Testament. We can say, hey, we can read about the story of actually what happened in their life. But ultimately, when it was all said and done, God honored their faith in God. Faith is what pleased God. These individuals, when you read them, you and I, we understand tonight that this was not a perfect crowd, Brother Terry. This was not a crowd that had it all together. It wasn't a perfect group of people. Noah's mentioned here, he had faith, but Noah later on, he got drunk. You read later on, Abraham. Abraham was a man that pleased God. He had faith in God. But Abraham, he got ahead of God and even lied. And now we're still dealing with it. Matter of fact, we got some missionaries here tonight that's going to deal with the seed of Abraham and the problem of unbelief. Sarah, she laughed at the promises of God. I'm talking about a people that are not very perfect. Jacob was a trickster. He was a deceiver. You read all the way through here, Moses was a murderer. Yet it mentioned here by name that they had faith. The Bible said there in verse number 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. You say, why couldn't God leave that out? I think he's just wanting to let us know in the New Testament, amen, that God can use an imperfect people despite what they got going on in their life. As long as you have faith, that is what pleases God. Nothing pleases God tonight outside of faith. The Bible says in verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God said, I'm looking for faith. I'm looking for some people that will just believe me, even though they don't have it all together. They got a bunch of warts and wrinkles and problems and faults and failures. They don't have it all together. But I'll tell you what they got in their life is they got faith in God. Does that not encourage you tonight? I might not be able to do much tonight, but I can believe God. Nobody has a monopoly on faith. You, listen, there's not a group that says, okay, this group over here, they got a monopoly on it, but this group over here don't. Listen, when it comes to faith, everybody's created equal. You might not be able to do a whole lot of things, but you can believe God tonight. And you can please God with your life. But the Bible says there, when I look at it, in verse number 16, the Bible says, wherefore, and anytime you see a wherefore, you ought to ask yourself, what is it therefore? Why did God say, wherefore, in verse number 16, God is not ashamed? Tonight it would imply that there are some things that you and I can do as believers, that God could look down at our life, even though we're born again, we're a child of God, we're going to heaven when we die. We're doing some things right, but there are some things in our life that God could look at and say, you know what? I'm ashamed to be called their God. I'm ashamed. I don't know about you tonight. I don't want to shame God. I remember when I was a child that there were times when my parents would shame them by my behavior. The things that I did with my life and my dad and my mom, I remember, listen, I'm like, Pastor, I didn't have to get a whole lot of whoopings. I could probably name 10 of them if I really thought real hard. I got some of them that still stick out in my mind that I got some PTSD from. And they helped me, amen. It wasn't none of that getting the time out for a little while, put your nose in the corner. No, there wasn't no time out when I was a kid. Amen. It was the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge, amen. And God helped me with it.
But I'd have to come clean and tell my parents, hey, I'm sorry. Had to own up to the fact that I had shamed them, that I had done something that caused them to look at my life as their son. But you know, there was never a time when my dad looked at me and said, son, because of what you've done, you're no longer my son. There's never been a time in my life when I have failed the Lord or I had a lack of faith in my life that God looked at me and said, you're no longer my child. I'm thankful tonight we're sealed unto the day of redemption. But if you look at the chapter, you cannot help but ask yourself, is there anything in my life? You know, the Bible is a personal book. Sometimes we hear preaching and we say, yeah, that's good. Preach it to them. Go ahead, preach on their row. Go preach on their pew. Preach to their family. No, no, no. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, that's standing in the need of somebody to preach to me and to pray for me. Amen? It's me that needs faith in God. It's you and I tonight. You read the Old Testament, you can find there was multiple accounts of God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, where God was utterly ashamed to claim Israel as His own, and yet He still remained their God. He was constantly, you know, let me show you a verse that just came to my mind. Look at Isaiah chapter number 1. Would you not say tonight that God is a perfect father? I would say tonight He's never made a mistake. He's a perfect father. And God has many children. Thank God for the nation of Israel. That's His children. The children of Israel is what we would call them. You and I as a Gentile bride have been grafted in. Thank God. We got part of the blessings. Amen. And I'm thankful for the age, the church age, if you will. But look at what the Bible says for you parents that have some children that you have done your dead level best to raise for God. You've prayed for them. You've raised them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You've had family altar. You've been to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You've had them in the Bible clubs. You put them in the camps. You've sent them to the conferences. You've done all that you can do with your children. And yet they got a free will. And they decide, I don't want this thing of serving God and having faith in God and following God. And now you blame yourself. And there's nothing wrong with looking inward and say, what can I do better? What did I do wrong, Lord? I think introspection is good and looking at our own self and say, hey, where could I have done better? Because I got some other children I'm trying to raise up. I don't want to make the same mistake with these youngins that I did with the old ones, right? But God had children. Verse number 2, look at what the Bible says. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. What did He say? He said, I have nourished and brought up children. Perfect father. And look what they did. And they have rebelled against me. I don't reckon, amen, the servant is any better than his master tonight. And you and I, many times, we've been one of those children, haven't we? We have rebelled against our faith. We've rebelled against believing God. And yet, I don't want to be that kind of child. I don't want to be a child that God looks down at my life and said, I'm ashamed of them. Ashamed to be called their God because I've done all this, as my wife just sang, Lord, You have been good. Lord, You've saved me. You put my life back together. You've blessed me. You've given me a wife or a husband, ladies, and You've given me children. You've given me a good church and a good pastor. You've let me be born in the greatest country on earth, the God-blessed United States of America, where we still have the freedom of stars and bars that I can do what I'm doing tonight. Thank God we not only were born in the great United States, but now we get to live in the greatest state of all 50, the state of Texas. Amen? You say, what is that? Lord, You've been good. And yet many times we rebel against God, don't we? God looks at us and said, I'm ashamed to be called their God. I know there have been times in my life when God was ashamed of how I acted or reacted, my lack of belief in Him, my lack of faith. And I'm glad He didn't kick me out of His family. I'm glad tonight I'm still one of His. Amen. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. You look at these individuals here. Abraham was a friend of God, the Bible says, in Hebrews chapter number 11. He You say, why? Because he obeyed by faith. He just obeyed God. Anybody can obey. Abraham was a friend of God. Enoch walked with God. The Bible says in verse number 5, you know what the Bible says about that? When he walked with God, the Bible says it pleased God. I can do that. I can believe God. I can obey God. I can walk with God. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. I can put my faith in the blood, amen. Sarah judged God faithful to His promises, no matter all the odds that were against her. Abraham believed God was able. Jacob, when he was a dying, he worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. He said, what were they doing? We see this crowd here and how that they weren't perfect, but they did believe God. And what could God do in your life? What could God do in your family? What could God do with your children? What could God do with this church if we would take our lives and our church and our families and we would not shame God by our lack of faith in God? So God looks at us and says, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. What was it? There's three things here I want to look at tonight in Hebrews chapter number 11 that these individuals did that I believe God could say, wherefore God's not ashamed to be called their God. Number one, these individuals, look at verse 13 and 14 of the text. The Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14, for they that say such things, look at what they did, declare plainly that they seek a country. Number one, these individuals declared their faith in God. Did you know tonight there's no such thing as closet Christianity? These individuals, they declared what they believed. Enoch had a testimony and his life declared it. Noah preached. Amen. You say, how did he declare it? He preached what he believed and he did it because he was just obeying God. It had never rained. He's building this ark. He's doing all this by faith and he's the preacher of righteousness. You say, how successful was he in his day? Noah got himself, his wife, his three sons and their wives in the ark. That was all the success he had. But thank God he had his family in it. Amen. You say, what was he doing? He just believed God. He declared his faith in God. He declared that he believed God by faith, and he believed God by building an ark, even though it didn't make any sense. You know, the Christian life is not going to make a whole lot of sense tonight. It don't make a whole lot of sense that God would send Brother Brian Green to where he's going. And I'm not going to say tonight because I'm on live stream. That don't make no sense. You can't make sense of God. We try to make sense of God and we try to figure Him out, but we saw the verse this morning in the presentation that God's ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. And the fact that we're here tonight don't make a whole lot of sense on why God would take a smorgasbord of people from all over the country and put us here. We were talking this morning with my brother and sister from New Jersey. And man, I'm telling you, the people that we know and they know and the connections and how we're here in New Caney, Texas, out of all the places on earth, but here we are. So what's God doing? I don't know what He's doing, but I tell you what we need to do, just believe Him. They declared their faith in God. In verse number 4, the Bible says there that Abel declared his faith in the blood. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by the which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And you say, what's going on in Abel's life tonight? And by it, his faith in the blood, he being dead yet speaketh. It's still talking to us tonight in 2026. You say, what's it doing? It's declaring the blood is still sufficient. There's still no other way to heaven but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's still the only way to heaven, and by it he being dead yet speaketh, that it's still the blood. It's always been the blood. It'll always be the blood. Everybody gets hung up on all these things. And I'm a dispensationalist, a modern dispensationalist, but there's one thing we all got to have in common. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis. It was the blood. All the way through the Old Testament, it was a shed blood. all the way through the Passover lamb, it's the blood. All the way through the New Testament, it's the blood. And Jesus Christ died and shed his blood all the way to the book of Revelation. They overcame him by the blood of the lamb and by the word of their testimony. It's still the blood. It'll always be the blood. And it declares, amen, that you and I have faith in something that the world calls foolish. Say, that don't make any sense, all that bloody slaughterhouse religion. Amen. Chalk me up. That's me tonight. Amen. We like that blood preaching. We like the blood songs in our songbook. We like a bloody King James Bible. Amen. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Don't take it out, NIV. Keep it in there. Even the forgiveness of sins. You say, why? Because they declared their faith in God and in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Amen. So stop being so quiet. Amen. Speak up. Declare your faith in God. We declare our faith with our lives. So when we do it with our lips, talk is cheap tonight, isn't it? Anybody can run their mouth about what they believe, but a life that consistently, daily, for years, declares their faith in God, you know what that is? That's an undeniable thing. You can talk all you want to, but a life that backs it up and walks it and lives it, usually the fellow that talks a good fight, he's not much of a fighter, is he? If somebody's always saying, I'll take you out and whoop you, man. I mean, just constantly popping off about how they can fight, how they can box, how they can whoop. Don't pay much attention to that fella. I tell you, the fella you got to watch out for is that quiet guy. Amen. Yeah. Brother Kenny Johnson, amen. The quiet guy you got to watch out for. He's not a big motor mouth, but he's got a right hook that'll declare the evidence of things not seen, amen. I mean, it'll come around and get you. Thought about these missionaries that we support, and we got a screen back there with all the missionaries. Do you know what they are? They're living proof that they really believe God. Their lives. You say, why? Because they became poor. You say, how did they become poor? They quit their jobs. Talking to Brother Brian Green this morning, he quit a job making $100,000 plus $120,000 a year. He said, what did he do? He walked in and he quit. No more money coming in. And he hit the deputation trail. You say, well, how did he do that? By faith. Amen. He hit the deputation trail by faith so that others might be rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a call to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ. He became totally dependent upon God as his employer. And you can be sure of one thing tonight, God's always going to do right. Brother Ted Mullen said, God always finances his will. If God's in something, he'll pay for it, amen. God's got a call on a missionary. He'll give them support and get them to the field. If they got to be on the deputation trail for 10 years and they're still at 20%, hang it up, sir. Go get you an honest job and get in a local church, amen. God ain't called you. You say, how do you know? He ain't took care of you. Amen. Amen. Brother Brian Gerard said, God takes care of missionaries and fools. He said, I'm both of them, amen. He's got one eye, man. You say, why? Because he wasn't so wise that night, amen. You say, well, they do. They declared their faith in God. Then number two, God said, I'm not ashamed to be called their God because they declared their faith in God. But number two, because that bunch of folks down there just decided to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. They just decided, amen, that they're going to follow Jesus Christ. No turning back, no turning back. Look at verse number 17 of our text here. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. You say, what was that right there? It's commitment, sir. Right. Don't just read over that, amen, and forget what he's talking about. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You say, what do people do? A lot of times people declare that they have faith in God and that they believe God can do it, but they never really put God in a position in their life that God's the one that has to do it. You ever done that? He said, by the grace of God, by faith, I'm just going to decide to follow Jesus Christ, and I'm going to put myself in a position where I cannot do it anymore. God's the one that's going to have to do it, and if it don't get done, it's going to be because God didn't come through. You see, we like comfort Christianity, don't we? We got a little backup plan. We put God as plan A, but we got something out back here at plan B, amen, so we can fall back on it. There wasn't no plan B in Abraham's life. He just said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Oh, listen, in verse number 26 through 28, look at the verses here. Man, I love the Bible. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You say, how'd he do it? Verse 28, through faith. He kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses decided, and he just did it. Rahab, in verse number 31, she decided. The Bible says there about Rahab by faith, the harlot Rahab, perished not with them that believed not. When she had received the spies with peace, when those walls came a-crumbling down that day, there was one little bitty piece of wall that had a woman by the name of Rahab on it. Amen. You say, why was it still standing? I'll tell you why it was still standing. It was still standing because of faith in God. You say, what I got to do? I just got to decide to follow Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Teenagers, you ever done that, young people? There's going to be a day when you're going to have to. You're going to be put at a crossroad in your life. Because there may be a day when mom and daddy go this way, and if you're going to go with God, you're going to have to go this way. There might be a day when you're put in a position, amen, with a relationship, or maybe with your future, with your college, or with a spouse, a future spouse, or whatever it might be, amen. I'm just saying tonight, you're going to have to decide to follow Jesus Christ with your life. I love old time religion. I love old time preaching. I love old time meeting. I love it when God turns His church into a spiritual oasis and God just kind of gets in there and starts moving around. You say, what are you talking about? If you don't know what I'm talking about tonight, amen, I don't even know how to explain it to you. But when God, you just get in a meeting and there's some preaching, there's some singing, and the Lord just kind of looks down there and says, man, I kind of like what's going down there. And the Lord just kind of goes, man, the breath of God starts moving and, amen, people get saved and lives start getting changed and God starts calling men and putting relationships back together. I like it when it's like that. But I got bad news for you tonight. There's a lot of things that we do in the Christian life that you're going to have to do as just the result of plain old decision. Because that's not the Christian life. The idea that people got to have a thrill. They got to have an emotion. They got to have lots of liberty. They got to have a fix, amen, a Holy Ghost fix. Holy Ghost meeting, you know. We call them camp meeting junkies because they got to find a meeting somewhere in the country every week because they can't live the Christian life without it. Amen. Maybe you don't know some people like that, but I know some people like that. But that's not the Christian life. Christian life is just a result of plain old decision. There might not be a thrill. There might not be an emotion. There might not be much liberty. There might not be no attaboys in your life, somebody rooting you on to serve God. But listen, you're just going to have to say within your heart, life, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Listen tonight, when the world beckons you, your decision must stand. When Satan buffets you, your decision must stand. When your flesh burns, your decision must stand. When sin besets you tonight, your decision must stand. When death buries your loved ones, your decision must stand. When your friends and your spouse and your church and God's people betray you and they hurt you, your decision to follow Jesus Christ must stand. When the way seems barred and you don't know which way to go, your decision must stand. When you have to say goodbye to your spouse or your friends or your family or your loved ones or your church like missionaries do and leave your homeland to go to a foreign land where you don't know the people, you don't know the language, you don't know anybody, you don't know how you're going to make it, but you say goodbye, goodbye, goodbye to your comfort life, and you go and do what God told you to do. You say, what's the only thing that's going to keep me on the field? It's going to be your decision to follow Jesus Christ must stand. You're going to have to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You ever done that? It's never easy. If it's easy, everybody would be doing it. Not easy. I remember a time in my life, one of the hardest times. I didn't, of course, looking back, it wasn't really that hard, but at the time it was hard. Standing there in Port Talis, New Mexico, in that parsonage, I loaded up that U-Haul. You say, what happened? I'd lost everything. I had a church that loved me. I had friends there. I had a decent salary. I had a parsonage I lived in. And the Lord said to me on July the 7th of that year, He said, I want you to go to Houston. I said, all right, Lord. Man, I just did what God told me to do. Didn't have a lot of plans. I didn't know what was going to happen. But I remember standing there with my brother-in-law, Jack, and I turned around and that parsonage was empty. Man, I had that door and I stood there in that doorway and I looked at that parsonage and there was no pictures on the walls. There was no furniture. And I stood there with a broken heart and had so many memories flooding my mind. And I got in that U-Haul truck and I began to pull away in that U-Haul and I looked in that rearview mirror as I drove away and I was driving east towards Texas. Looked in that rearview mirror with a broken heart. I said, man, the only reason I would do this is because I just decided to follow Jesus Christ. And there's no turning back. I didn't understand. I didn't see what all God was going to do and how God was going to make a way. And man, God gave me all my family and just everything. I'm not going into detail tonight, but some of you that know me know our story a little bit. And I'm just saying, God will be faithful. He will honor your faith. He has not forgotten you. Sometimes it seems like, it's like, all right, Lord, here I am, Lord. Have you forgot about me? Here I am, Lord. But listen, you decide to follow Jesus Christ. He might not be a God that seems like He's near, but I'm telling you, He's not very far from any one of us. You're just going to have to serve Him by faith. Declare your faith in God. Decide to follow Jesus Christ. And then number three, and I'm done tonight, why would God say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God? Because number three, these individuals desired a better country. They declared their faith in God, they decided to follow Jesus Christ, and they desired a better country. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. And then God said, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is the tree of life. And these individuals, you know, back in the old days, if you wanted something and you had a desire for something, it was days before, you know, credit cards and bank loans and deferred interest and leasing and all those things. People had to wait on something. They wanted something. They had a cookie jar or something, you know, they were putting some money in. Every single week they'd work and they put a little bit back. And finally, it would come where they had enough money to purchase the thing that they wanted. You say, what was that? That was desire. You see, your desire determines what you do. Desire tonight is one of the strongest words in all of the English language. Desire is what makes people pay tens of thousands of dollars for fertility treatment. Now, I've got friends of mine. I've got one of my cousins who in her 40s had such a desire to have a baby that they spent $150,000+ on fertility treatment, and finally they have a child. But you say, what would cause someone to spend so much money on something? Desire. Desire to have a child. I was reading one time about a man who paid $1.5 million for a Chinese teacup. You say, what would cause a man to spend $1.5 million on a Chinese teacup? Only one thing would cause a man to do that, and that was his desire to have it. Desire. And tonight, have you ever given your life to God? Given your life to His work? Maybe some of you tonight, and no doubt many of you, because you've been in this church for years and years, and think about Brother Lauren, Brother Dwayne, and Brother Clark and others in here, Brother John, and I hate to name names because many of you have been here for years and years, Brother Kenny and Brother Craig. You've given your life to this church. You've given your life to God and to serving God, and you've given tens of thousands, some of you hundreds of thousands of dollars to Faith Promise Missions. And have you ever wondered about why you're doing that? It seemed like life just starts falling apart. One blow after another blow after another blow, and we were talking about a lady that's here tonight, and I won't mention who it is, but man, we were talking in a good way about this lady and said, man, some things that she has gone through, the loss and the funerals and the heartache and the heartbreak. And man, I said, man, every time I see her, she walks in the church and she got a smile on her face and thinking, man, I don't know if I could do what she does after going through all she's been through. But you ever wondered, Lord, can I just catch a break for a little while? I mean, you suffered loss after loss after loss after loss? Maybe financial trouble, and you're saying, Lord, you hadn't given back yet. I'm still waiting for that, you know, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give it to your bosom? I'm still looking for that. I thought about Brother Ted Mullins. Brother Ted, if you know Brother Ted, man, his heart is in Papua New Guinea. It's where his heart's at. Right over there in that part of the world, right there. It's where Brother Ted's heart is. But you know where Brother Ted lives? Right over there in Tennessee. You say, why? Because God closed the door on something in his life. Has God ever closed the door on something in your life and it hurts so bad you didn't know how you were going to make it? You had a desire to serve God. You had a desire to please God. And it just seemed like one thing after another after another. Do you know how to keep God from being ashamed of you? Because these individuals went through some things, didn't they? You read their life, it wasn't perfect. There's a whole lot of loss and there's a whole lot of heartache. There's a whole lot of tears. Death could not stop what God was doing in their life by faith. Death could not stop Abel from talking in verse number 4. You say, why? He's still talking tonight. By it he being dead yet speaketh. Death could not find Enoch in verse number 5. I mean, he's walking with God and then he just was translated. The old boy never did die. Death couldn't find Enoch. Death could not surprise Noah in verse number 7, amen. He was there building that ark. When death came, he got in the ark, amen, and was saved, he and his house. Death could not detour Abraham in verse number 8. Amen. He just went out not knowing whether he went. He just followed God. When he went home that night and Sarah said, hey, honey, where are we going? He said, I don't know, baby. We're going together. Amen. He went out not knowing. He said, how by faith? Death could not prevent Sarah from having a child. You say, what was going on in her life? Verse number 11, through faith also Sarah, having received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful. That's what Pastor preached on this morning. You say, why was that able to take place? Because she served a God who is the faithful God. Death could not prevent Sarah from having a child. You know what death couldn't do in verse number 13? Death could not blind all of these in verse number 13. Look at what the Bible says. These all died, how? In faith. And look at what the Bible says. Not having received the promises. You might die on this side and not get what you so desire to have. But I got the good news. If you decide to follow Jesus Christ and you declare your faith in God and you desire a better country, look what the Bible says, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, and they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them. Death did not blind them from seeing some things that they could not see if it had not been the eyes of faith. You see, that's why it's the only thing that pleases God. It's a life of faith. And many of us tonight, we have more over there than we got over here. We got more over there. And the longer you live the Christian life, and the least the things of this world begin to matter to you. Because there's so many things that you had and you held on to, and now you got more over there than you got here. And like these individuals were doing, they just desired a better country. They kept one eye on that heavenly country. That city that God was going to prepare for them. Amen. I got a father in heaven. I got a mother-in-law in heaven. My wife and I, we got two babies in heaven. And I cannot help but think about that wonderful, glad reunion day when we get to cross over to that better country on the other side. You say, how is it going to be? I don't know, but I try to see it through the eyes of faith. I like to think about them little babies coming running up and jumping in mama's arms and my wife's arms, and I don't know how it's going to be. Are they still going to be babies? Are they going to be 33 years old? Or that? I don't know how it's going to be. Maybe God will let my wife, I don't know, my mind sometimes is warped. But maybe, you ever thought maybe God lets mamas that lost their babies raise their babies during the millennium? I don't know how that works. That's not in the Bible, so don't, that's conjecture. Beyond conjecture. But I know this, one of these days there's going to be a reunion. We got more over there than we got here. The more you put loved ones in the ground, the less this world means to you and I. Verse number 15, here's what you got to be careful of, and I'm done tonight. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Did you know tonight the opportunities will arise for you to go back? That's why you're going to have to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. You're going to have to, nobody can do it for you. You got to get saved for yourself. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to do it yourself. Your wife can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Mom and daddy can't do it for you. You're going to have to do it yourself. And get in an old-fashioned altar somewhere like all of us had to do at some point in time in our life, whether it be at home, driving down the road, in a church service, in a Sunday school class, you're going to have to decide to follow Jesus Christ, because there's going to be many opportunities for you to go back. The only way you can finish well and cross the finish line by faith and be one of the individuals that God looks down at your life and said, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. Isn't that your desire tonight? That's my desire tonight, is to please God with my life. As the old song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You're going to have to declare your faith in God. Decide to follow Jesus Christ. Desire a better country. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Father, tonight, I pray that you would fill this church with men, women, boys and girls, teenagers, old folks, young folks,
Lord, with people that just believe God. And Father, I pray that you'd help all of us to be an individual, a saint, that you can look down at our lives and say, I'm not ashamed to be called their God. And Father, tonight I pray that you bless the invitation. Have your will and way tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a piano player,